The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 16th, 2012, in Pretoria, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Toward those who always serve Him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways, as stated in the Vedas Kapta Upanishad 1.2.2.23. Yamme Vaisha Vinyute Tena Labhas Tasyaiva Atma Vinyute Tanum Svam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as He is. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Tadami Buddhiyogam Tam. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain Him in His spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan, in some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Adaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." As indicated by the words Satatam and Yasha, which mean always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee, for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti Yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the Bhakti Yogis are engaged in five different ways. Shanta Bhakta, engaged in devotional service and neutrality. Dasha Bhakta, engaged in devotional service as a servant. Shakya Bhakta, engaged as a friend. Vatsalya Bhakta, engaged as a parent. And Mathura Bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. So for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, not even for a moment. So, similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna consciousness process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatavakamam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saharanaragatam Vitantam Sujimam Sadaitam Savadutam Kadijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saharanaradita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasham Nirishatamine. I like the ending of this purport. It's really one of those extra sweet purports in Prabhupada. The great blessing of this Hare Krishna mantra is that it enables you to remember, not forget Krishna even for a moment, so that Krishna will not forget you even for a moment. This Krishna consciousness process is not impersonal. If you love Krishna, He will love you. Of course, He already loves everyone. But if you serve Him, you reciprocate
That's the point. How would you like to have a personal reciprocation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every minute? The Hare Krishna mantra is the key that unlocks the door to uninterrupted personal reciprocation of the Supreme Lord for all of eternity. Now that's big. That is really big. You can directly associate with God at every minute. Not as some unapproachable big mountain off in the distance, but an intimate, loving, personal relationship with God, Krishna. You simply have to become a master of the art of what? Chanting Hare Krishna. That's what our initiation process is for. To train you how to be a master of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That's what the initiation process is for. So many different systems are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Why? If it's only bhakti, why does Krishna spend a whole chapter talking about Hatha Yoga? One may wonder. Why? I mean, if it's not so important, why does Krishna talk about it so much? Well, I'll tell you why. You ever gone on the internet to buy some software? And the vendor that's selling you software will list all the competitive types of software and what features they have. You ever seen that? It lists all the competitors. Our software has this feature. These have this. This one has this and this. And this one has only this. They will list the other competitive softwares to show why theirs is better. They're not trying to sell you the other software. But they want you to see what the competitors are and why they're not as good. So Krishna is the original salesman. The original sharp salesman is Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita is selling Arjuna on the Bhakti Yoga system. Not in isolation, by comparison all the other systems that are available as well. So there's a science to these different descriptions of other different types of yoga. There's a reason for them. Prabhupada mentioned that the Bhakti Yoga system doesn't have the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Can you think of any examples of other yoga practitioners who were plagued with difficulties? Immediately, Vishwamitra Muni comes to mind. He was in the Hatha Yoga system. He'd gone through all the steps. Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana. He'd gone through all the stages, the Eightfold Path, Ashtanga Path. He'd come all the way to Samadhi. He'd achieved the perfectional stage of the Hatha Yoga system. And then what happened? Menaka happened by the arrangement of Indra. And his yoga was finished. A beautiful girl came to his secluded place. What he was doing is meditation, then it's over. Yoga finished. But the bhakti yogi, he cannot be attracted by any beautiful woman. Because he is attracted by the beauty of the source of the beauty of all the beautiful women, Krishna, you see. A woman cannot be beautiful on her own. A woman is beautiful because she possesses some of the potency of Krishna. So if you can be attracted to Krishna, who is the beautifier of all beautiful women, is it? Then a beautiful woman cannot attract you. Because you're relishing the beauty of Krishna. So how do you do that? Again, the mantra is there. You say, well, that's just the mantra. I want Krishna. Now don't think like that. The Hare Krishna mantra is Krishna himself. Absolutely,
Krishna himself. Sometimes I think the deity is different too. Why? The deity is okay, but I want Krishna himself. There's one pastime, great as pandit. He had a very good, he had Gaurantai deities in his house. And he also had the good fortune that Gaurantai had come to his home for lunch, if you can imagine. So as they were leaving, he says, "My dear Lord, I cannot bear your separation. My dear Lords, I cannot bear your separation." He said, "No problem, we're on the altar." He said, "I want you personally. That's deities, I want you personally." He said, "Don't you know there's no difference?" He said, "But no, I want you personally." He said, "Okay." Lord Chaitanya, they walked up on the altar, the deities came to life, and the deities walked off the altar, and Lord Chaitanya lit on his very altar and they froze as deities. And now the deities who are now moving, they walk out of the house. But Gauridas Pandit ran after them, but no, my dear Lord, please, I cannot bear your separation. Please stay here in my house. Can't you see we're on the altar? We were just taking lunch with you, and now we're on the altar. Can't you see that we're actually here? But I want you personally here. So those lords who had just been frozen on the altar as deities now went back, got on the altar again. The other two have been sitting at lunch. They came off the altar. They're walking out the door. This went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Until Gauridas finally lost all track of who was sitting at the table eating lunch. He was sitting at no table. He was sitting on the floor eating lunch. So in this way, this is the deity is personally Krishna. Absolutely, he is Krishna. A holy name is also personally Krishna. So, what is Prabhupada advised? This is, I found this in the Veda days. Sometimes we find the most amazing quotes in the Veda. Actually, we always do. Sometimes really, really amazing surprises come out of the Veda days. Prabhupada wrote to one of his female sons, one of his spiritual daughters. He said that when you're chanting, Balavi Devi Dasa, yeah. He says, when you're chanting your japa, feel the presence of Krishna. If you can do that, then fix your mind on the holy name. So the first flash japa you're recommended for is to feel the presence of Krishna. Now how often do we do that when we're chanting around, I really feel how Krishna's present? Do we chant that way? We're lucky if we can fix our mind on the name in our neophyte stage, you see. But this is actually a higher level way of approaching the holy name. Understand, this is Krishna. Krishna has personally come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna is personally here. This is Krishna himself, that Supreme Lord, you see, who's described by Brahmaji. As being one love second. Being an undifferentiated entity, because there is no distinction between the potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creations of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in each and every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout those universes at one and the same time, such as the primeval Lord of my adoration. That Supreme Lord who is present within every atom throughout all the universes, that Supreme Lord has now come and fully manifested himself for you as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Superstar has now come, bigger than any superstar of this world. He has now come, and you can associate with him every minute. So if one takes advantage of Krishna, the presence of Krishna, and receives him with a loving heart, whatever degree of love you can manifest while you're chanting, Krishna will reciprocate 10 times that love. So we can pray, my dear Lord, you so kindly come, is your holy name. Thank you, my Lord, for blessing me with your divine presence. Thank you, my Lord, for coming and being present before this sinful wretch who doesn't deserve your presence, but you've so kindly come out of your causeless mercy to purify me and uplift me. Thank you, my dear Lord, for coming here to save me from my suffering condition in this material existence. So then one prays in this way, in this mood, Krishna reciprocates like anything. And you will feel how you're being transformed by His mercy. You'll feel how the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy that haunted you for many lifetimes and gradually drawing away, away, away. So this is the most sublime fastness. Now we take it very seriously, and all happiness will be ours. One who is Krishna conscious is not lacking in anything, because Krishna is everything. You have Krishna, you have everything. You're not lacking in anything. In this world, we are striving to get this and that, this and that, this and that. Striving like anything, it is so many things. But are we ever satisfied? No. Dushparena malena cha. Those lusty desires burn like fire and they're never satisfied. But if you just somehow are to connect with Krishna, somehow connect with Krishna, and then you'll have everything. You'll not be lacking anything. So, is that only for certain people? Yes, only for the devotees. This cannot be experienced by the jnanis, the karmis, or the yogis. This personal reciprocation is only for the devotees. So who can be a devotee? Everyone can be a devotee. We have open membership program. Krishna Kanda. The whole world is invited. Even Jagai and Madai are welcome. Even the most sinful murderers, rapists, cheaters, scoundrels, drunkards, everyone can come. You come to the devotees by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And be happy. Prabhupada doesn't want us to be miserable. Prabhupada wants us to be happy. Prabhupada has so much happiness in his heart that he can make everybody happy. He can give us some of his happiness. Maybe. He has so much happiness in his heart, he can give happiness to every single living being throughout the whole material world. That's how much happiness Prabhupada has in his heart. He can make every single living being throughout the whole material world completely happy. So how to be at the mercy of Prabhupada? Very simple thing. You have to read his book. You read the book of Srila Prabhupada and you follow the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. And then you will get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You will feel great happiness in your heart. Therefore, we are sitting in these books. We want everybody in the whole planet to have at least one Prabhupada book. At least in every household, there must be at least one Bhagavad Gita. You see, that is our mission. At least, that's the step one. Step two, we want a full set of Prabhupada books in every home on this planet. Because this Krishna consciousness philosophy will solve all the problems of the world. It's like in the U.S. now, I heard there was a massacre. Some madman went to an elementary school with the small children of the age. He went on a shooting rampage, killing little children. He killed 20 little children and 6 adults, and then killed himself. What a horrible tragedy. But the thing that makes it even more bad is the President of the United States, President Obama, he publicly was crying over this incident. And everybody's thinking, oh, just see how much compassion he has, he's crying over these little children. But this same President Obama is in favor of abortion. Is he? He's crying over 20 children. What about the 20 million children that were killed by abortion? He's in favor of that. He's in favor of killing 20 million children here, and he's crying over 20 children here. You see? This is the caliber of leadership we have in the world right now. They have no integrity. These leaders have no integrity. That's why these books are very, very important, you see. Because somebody who understands this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, who applies it carefully, sincerely, they will develop all integrity. We need persons of integrity and leadership on this planet. We are suffering like anything in the present moment on this planet because the leaders are hypocrites. They are sinful rascals. They are expert in lying and manipulating, but they have no genuine saintly qualities. This is the caliber of men who are leading the country, the nations on this planet right now. Therefore, nobody can be happy. Therefore, the people are struggling to earn a living, you see. Just to be able to have some food and a place to stay, people are struggling. People in many countries, you can't even own your own house. It's too expensive. You have to spend your whole life being a slave or the rental slave of some landlord. Your whole life, you see. Struggling to pay your monthly rent. Whereas formerly everyone had their own place of residence. The whole world situation becomes so chaotic because the leaders are corrupt, they're greedy, they're exploiting the people because there's no knowledge of Krishna consciousness. If people have knowledge of Krishna consciousness, they won't elect such person to become leaders. And they go to the polling station and they'll see, well, is this candidate Hare Krishna or is he not Hare Krishna? Is Hare Krishna? He doesn't know. But if he's a Prabhupada man, he's got my vote. If he's not a Prabhupada man, forget it. I don't care how many promises he made, how big he smiles. Shakespeare said, one can smile and still remain a devil. Is it? Shakespeare said. So is this man a follower of Prabhupada's teaching? He has my vote. We need to educate the people to only vote for leaders that follow Prabhupada's books. Then the whole world will become like Vaikuntha. This would be a paradise. This planet will be a paradise. Crime will be practically non-existent. Disease will be practically non-existent. People will live much longer than they live now. Everybody will live to be 100 instead of 60, 70. Sometimes he's 30 is an old man. I've read in some countries in Africa, if you're in your 30s, you're an old man. A senior citizen in your 30s. The atmosphere has become so unhealthy in this planet. So, if we can simply become the Krishna consciousness, all the problems will be solved. So now I'll take some questions and you can also... My wife is very... Do you want to answer some? Okay. How does one overcome the tendency to control his destiny by calculating and planning continuously for one's own self-interest? Actually, that's not a bad thing. You're right. We should become the controllers of our destiny by calculating and planning continuously for our own self-interest. We should do that. That is to be Krishna conscious. To be Krishna conscious is our highest self-interest. Therefore, we should always scheme and plan, how can I become as Krishna conscious as possible today? At this moment, at every minute, we should be like a greedy businessman, how can I make a buck today? One devotee
He's from a Jewish background. And he was doing some business. Every day, very dedicatedly, he said, another day, another dollar. So, we should have that another day for more Krishna consciousness. That mood is a greedy businessman. Every day, I must make at least $1 profit. But every day, I must become at least a little bit more Krishna conscious. Every day. Yeah.
Is it we should or we must do it?
We must.
That is what is required.
Thank you very much for the clarification. I said should. I gave us some option, like maybe you should, but no. I wasn't being emphatic enough. The Vishnu Kriya Manaji has made it more emphatic by adding, changing it to must. You must do it. There's no, it's like, what does it say in the Isha Upanishad? There is no alternative to this way for man.
It's a prime duty.
Huh?
When you have a human form, it's a prime duty.
That's it. A human being must do this. A human being must cultivate his Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what is he? Dvipada-pashu. Do you know what a Dvipada-pashu is? He's a two-legged animal. How does one become addicted to doing good for others? Just do it. Give Krishna consciousness to other people as much as you possibly can. Do everything you can every minute to inspire everybody around you to be as Krishna conscious as possible. And what will happen? You become addicted to it. Because there's no sweeter feeling than giving Krishna to others, as confirmed by Krishna himself. Nachatasman manusheshu. Kashin may priyakritamaha. Abhikam akshadevatvad anyapriyataraguru. He says, there is no one in this world more dear to me than he, than one who preaches, nor will there ever be anybody more dear. Now, what can be more addicting than that to become the dearmost person to Krishna? It's called Krishna Priya. The more our Vishnu Priya. The more you become dear to Krishna, I guarantee you, you will get addicted. You can do something that pleases Krishna. I remember back in the old days, we didn't do book distribution in this country. It was considered impossible. You couldn't sell somebody a book. It was thought impossible. When I joined this country, there was no book distribution. No one thought it was possible. The most you could do is sell somebody a Bhaktivedanta magazine for 25 cents. And that's it. That's all we did. But then one day, some devotees came back In fact, we used to call Harinam was called. Now let's go on some. Okay, Prabhu, let's go on some kirtan and then go out on Harinam. We didn't even call it Harinam in the old days. It was called some kirtan. Even Prabhupada called it some kirtan. Okay, time for some kirtan. Go out and sing and dance on the street and distribute a few BTGs while we're doing it. That was some kirtan. So the devotees are coming back with some kirtan from singing and dancing and handing out BTGs. And they happen to have the Krishna book with them. And they went to buy some gas. They didn't have any money. So they bartered with the gas attendant for a tank of gas in exchange for a Krishna book. They went, wow, that was easy. Maybe we could sell it. So they went out the next day, they tried selling them, and lo and behold, they were selling them like crazy in San Francisco, and it became a big thing. The news went all over the ISKCON world. There was no internet. It was all by regular letters and by telephone, but I tell you, the word spread really fast all over the world. It happened in San Francisco. And I remember we were doing some kirtan, singing and dancing on the street in Miami. The Miami temple was out doing some kirtan, you know, singing and dancing on the street. And across the street was one of those brahmacharis from San Francisco. He had his dhoti and his shaita and his tila. And he was out there with a big hardbound Krishna book selling to people on the street. And we watched him sell the Krishna book. And he was so ecstatic, he was jumping up and down in ecstasy, having sold the Krishna book. So the fact is that when you give Krishna to others, you become ecstatic. And we're so much miserable. Let's face the facts, Prabhus and Matajis. We are suffering in this world right now. And when you can take some genuine ecstasy, you're gonna get addicted to them, you see. So, just like there are some devotees, all they want to do is book distribution. Even though it's austere, they get so much nectar, they're addicted to just doing full-time book distribution. They don't even have a proper house, they just live in a van. And they go out every day, the parking lots, the door-to-door, the concerts, and they distribute books because they get so much, they're completely addicted to giving Krishna Prabhupada's books and tasting the ecstasy and giving out this knowledge that they wouldn't give it up. They want to do it their whole life. Just want to keep distributing books, distributing books, distributing books. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how can we preach Krishna consciousness to atheists? Which of Prabhupada's books are most suitable for this purpose? Well, that's two questions. Well, I recommend that everyone should become expert in defeating atheistic arguments with logic. Prabhupada gave a very good argument that every machine has an operator, isn't it? This microphone requires an operator, the car, my watch here is a self-winding, if you go like this, or it goes dead, I have to move my wrist every now and then. Every machine requires an operator. Your computer, you got to flip the switch on, you see. No machine can turn itself on, that's it. So, since every machine requires an operator, we can scientifically observe that every machine requires an operator. Now, isn't the cosmos also acting like a machine? Isn't it? It runs just like a machine. The seasons. It runs just like a machine. Therefore, we thought that I can guess that there's a gigantic operator for the cosmic machine. Another argument is, just like one of the leading atheists nowadays, Dr. Stephen Hawking. I have a copy of it on my computer. He uses a simulator because he can't speak actually. Through his vocal simulator, he says, this is now science has evolved to the point we finally understand that this universe came out of absolutely nothing. This is like a great breakthrough of modern. There's nothing but Buddhist philosophy, no big deal. But he's presenting himself as the greatest scientist in the world because he understood that the universe came out of absolutely nothing. So that's atheism in a nutshell, you see, to say the universe came out of absolutely nothing. But I ask you, is that scientific? Science means observation and experiment. It doesn't? So where's the experiment of something ever coming out of nothing? Has any scientist ever taken nothing? Do we have any scientists here, chemists, physicists? We had a chemist in Mauritius the other day, and I confirmed with her it has never been done, that they took an empty test tube and they got something, a chemical reaction out of an empty test tube. She confirmed, the chemistry teacher at the school. So, it's simply blind faith. Atheism is blind faith. Theism is logical, scientific, and philosophical. That something comes from something. That is scientific, it's logical, it's philosophical. That is theism. Atheism says something came out of nothing. It's completely blind faith and dogma. They criticize us for being blind faith dogmatists, but that's a bunch of bull. Stool. Because the fact is, everything comes from something, and that original substance. Brahmaji says, Maya, what is it? Maya Hiyasya Jagadam Dasyatam Nisute. He says the absolute Krishna is the absolute substantive principle. He is the original substance of everything, Krishna. So, atheists are blind faith fanatics. They're not thoughtful people. They're blind faith fanatics. Theism is logical, it's scientific. So if you have this conviction, you won't be intimidated by the atheists. You just feel sorry for the poor fools. What book is the best? Bhagavad Gita is always the best book. It's the ultimate book. Okay. All right. What does one do? Any further thing? Would you like to know? What does one do to increase concentration while chanting? Because the mind tends to wander everywhere. Krishna says, bring the mind under control. Wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Yato yato nishtavati. Manashtam shalamastaram. Tatastato niyamyata atmanyaya vishamniya. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. But you know what chapter that's in? Chapter 6. That's the chapter for the Hatha Yogis. So actually there's a higher principle for the Bhaktas. I mean, it's a valid principle. But there's a higher principle for the Bhaktas in regard to chanting. And that principle is given by Srila Rupa Goswami. I can remember the yes. Tunde tanda ting vitanate tunda lilamye. Kana krodhika dhammani gatiyate kana vrine vaspiham. Sheta pangana sangani vijayate savendriyam kritim. No jane janita kriyam viramitai trishne divine advice. Beautiful Sanskrit by Rupa Goswami. Actually, Prabhupada told that Beatle, George Harrison, he said, you make a copy of Sun out of this mantra. It's a very, very powerful mantra about chanting Hare Krishna. And the translation goes like this. I don't know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, it's not just some vibration on my tongue. It is Krishna dancing on my tongue, and there is so much nectar that my one little tongue can't get it all. So please, Krishna, kindly give me millions of tongues so I can capture at least a little bit more of that nectar. And then, my Lord, when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, there's so much unbelievable oceans and oceans of nectar. I need to have billions and trillions of years to capture that nectar. And then when the holy name is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental ecstasy. So, how do you concentrate on the holy name? You've got to fall in love with the holy name. I'm going to look at Krishna. And then there's no question. It's like when some guy falls in love with a girlfriend. Now, my dear friend, you have to make sure not to forget your girlfriend. It's a joke. I mean, he's completely thinking of his girlfriend 24 hours a day, you know. Can I buy her a flower? Can I take her to the Sunday love feast? Whatever. So, come on, an example. But makes a point. When you're in love with someone, you can't do anything but think of them 24 hours a day. So you simply have to fall in love with Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then there'll be no difficulty. 24 hours. You will curse Ramaji, there's only 24 hours in a day. I only have 24 hours to go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Ramaji, couldn't have you at least made 25 hours in a day? You only gave me 24 hours to chant Hare Krishna. In this way, you have to become addicted to the name.
And then you'll have no problem concentrating on it. You'll have absolutely no problem concentrating on it.
Further points?
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, getting initiated is important, but it can break the sadhu's spirit if his guru only talks to him through email. That is not quite personal. How does the relation stay strong? Please tell me, long-distance relationship doesn't work? Well, I can tell you, when Prabhupada was here, we didn't even have email. And sometimes we only see Prabhupada every 2 or 3 years. Prabhupada saw his spiritual master, he said, no more than 10 times, maybe not even that many times. You have to learn to connect with your spiritual master through Bani. There are two presences of Sri Guru. There's Vapu, his physical presence, which we ought to give whenever we can. And there's Bani, his vibrational presence. Prabhupada said, of the two, Bani is better. Because Vapu uses the language of Sanjayana. When your Guru Maharaj departs from this world, then what will you do? You have to learn to connect with your spiritual master through Vani, through his teaching, through his instructions. The spiritual master lives forever by his instructions, and his disciples live with him. If you have embraced the orders of your spiritual master in your heart, tightly as your very life and soul, then his two lotus feet are firmly planted in your heart. Firmly planted. And you will never lose his association. You will feel how he is present with you at every moment, seeing you, guiding you, and blessing you. You don't need email. You just need love. You just need dedication. As confirmed in the Shreshpatara Upanishad 6.23, Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyayate kyatita yarta prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Sri Guru and Krishna are all the import of Vedic knowledge of you. Actually, to receive an email from your spiritual master, that's a very powerful thing. Why are you minimizing him? He's personally written you. He's given you he's taken his labor of love to take the time to write you an email, and you're saying it's like an insignificant thing. This is not very nice. An email from my spiritual master is not good enough. I mean, that's impersonal. This is not a very good attitude. We may not see Prabhupada, we would get a letter from him. We didn't have email from him. We had the old-fashioned letters, you know. If you got a letter from Prabhupada, it was like Prabhupada is personally coming. If you get an email from your spiritual master, you should feel your spiritual master is personally coming. That's how you should feel. You write it off like it's not a very good thing. That's offensive. It's offensive. Your spiritual master is taking the time and trouble to write you, and you say this, unless you can come personally, you're no good. I mean, it's a bit, this attitude is not right. Why is it Krishna looks like an Indian in most pictures? Oh, wait a minute. What Indian has a blue complexion? Focus. Show me an Indian with a blue complexion. Krishna looks like a Krishnian, not an Indian. Actually, the word Indian, it's a foreign word. It doesn't exist in India. The word Indian is a word coined by the outsiders. Bharati, isn't it? Bharati. Yeah. I'm a Bharati. That's the actual word. Yeah. Due to you, but Krishna likes India though. That's his favorite spot. Whenever he comes to this world, he comes to Vrindavan. He loves Vrindavan. That's why he sent Jamuna, why he sent Govardhan. You see, and Braj is very, very dear to Krishna. Actually, eternally dear to him. That doesn't make him an Indian. Krishna does not have an Indian passport. We're hoping the government in India will get a Krishna passport on it. That's what we're praying for. Okay, anyone? Okay. Due to years of conditioning, if one takes to the process of chanting Hare Krishna, then after some time fails to follow the four regs. I have a little, I'll give you a tip about following the four regular principles. If you call them the four regs, you're already weakening yourself because you're cheapening them. In talk about in a very casual, yeah, the four regs, man. You're already cheapening them. Instead of keeping them on a high pedestal as something you have awe and reverence for, you see, you're giving them a nickname. That already shows that you're halfway fallen down to begin with, and you call them the four regs. When you give them honor and respect, they are sacred, they are divine, they are non-different from Krishna. The orders of Prabhupada are sacred. You don't minimize them and call them the four regs. If you will always call them the four regulative principles, or even better yet, call them the four regulative principles of freedom, just that attitude will help you to follow them. But the four regs is like the four hassles, you know. You know what I'm saying? You have to respect them and worship them. The orders of Krishna are not different from Krishna. They have come from Srila Prabhupada. These four regular principles, they're as sacred as they're sacred. They're very, very sacred. We should always honor and worship the four regulated principles, not calling them four regs. That's my personal opinion.
They call it four regs.
Huh?
They call it four regs, like a pieces of cloth, so you throw them away.
Four rags, yeah.
Four rags.
The four rags. Call them the four regular principles. Alright, that's beside the point. Now we'll get back to the question. But then realizes there are flaws and wants to come back and practice. So that's very good. Please don't be offended and whoever wrote this. I'm not against you. I mean, but I'm just making a point. It'll help all of us to follow the four regular principles without deviation throughout our lives. So if one falls down and realizes their fault and wants to come back and practice it, how can they continue chanting despite their failure to follow the regular principles? Oh, great. Thank you. They said the regular principles here at the end. Thank you, Brittany. So how can they continue? It's simple. Just remember what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Take strength from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 30. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So, Krishna says, okay, you fell down, you broke the Vaikuntha principles, but now you want to come back? Krishna says, you are a sadhu. Even though you fell down, you did some really horrible, nasty things, now you come back. Krishna says, you are a sadhu. You are a saint. So be encouraged. Krishna says, you come back, you're a saint. Krishna accepts you as a saint. And the devotees, those devotees who are properly situated, who know what Krishna consciousness is, they will also accept you as a saint. Even if you did the most abominable thing, it won't matter. You come back, you take it up again, you are a saint. Any other point?
Yeah, everyone is a fallen soul. So when they come, become devotees, Krishna accept them. We are already fallen souls.
We're all fallen souls. So if anybody comes, Krishna comes, they should all be, they're all considered to be saintly, they're all considered to be saintly. You know what Prabhupada was asked in the early days? They were walking in Golden Gate Park. And they said, he was called Swamiji then. Swamiji, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? Prabhupada's answer, How many devotees are there in ISKCON? So, Baba is accepting all of the followers of this movement as true devotees. Even though we've all been hippies. You know, a few months before, we were doing all nonsense, smoking this, then drinking that, doing only conventionals. We were doing, you know, really bad stuff. But as soon as we give it all up and chant Hare Krishna, how many pure devotees are in the world? How many pure devotees? How many disciples are there in this world? So many of you accept it as a pure devotee, but now don't blow it. You're accepted by Prabhupada as a pure devotee, now you've taken this process, you've given up those four regulated, the four prohibited activities, you've given it up, now Prabhupada sees you as a saint, now keep up your reputation as a saint. Chant those rounds every day, follow the regulated principles, you're a saint, now remain a saint. Don't slip back into sinful life. So I think that's the last question. Yeah. Any other
Maharaj, I just wanted to ask a question about an obstacle. For impersonalists and atheists, even if they hear nice philosophy, they don't always want to change. And if you want a loving relationship, even though you can get full satisfaction of the senses and the heart through chanting, we don't always want to do that either, because we're not the center of attention in those activities. We have to have a servant, the mind of a servant. So how can we develop more of that?
Since I'm good devil, I'll have my wife amplify it.
Yeah. It's a pretty long question. I try to put it in. How can you make ourselves servant?
How can we?
Because even though we are chanting...
Shall I just speak louder?
Yes,
okay. And like a radio announcer, hit the consonants very sharply and clearly.
There seems to be an obstacle that an atheist or an impersonalist, even they may hear good arguments, they're not willing to accept.
That's right, it's false pride.
Yeah, and a person who hears that chanting will satisfy their heart.
A person who
hears that chanting will satisfy their heart, they don't want to do it because that activity may satisfy them, but they're not the center of attention in it. They're just like a servant.
An atheist means he's suffering from false pride. Anything that puts the attention on someone else, he's not interested because he wants to be the center of attention. That's why the chanting for him is no good, because if he's not the center of attention, if you tell him that he's Krishna, then maybe he'll agree. The impersonal philosophy, see, says that I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, we're all Krishna. So you can chant Hare Krishna because ultimately you're Krishna. So sometimes impersonalists will also chant, but they don't get the same result. So I don't know if I dealt with your question properly, if I understood it wrong.
Yeah, how to move your consciousness from wanting to be the center to being happy.
How does one then move one's consciousness away from wanting to be the center to making Krishna the center? It's really a matter of educating people that, you know, just like in the body, for example, the parts of the body all require nourishment. So if the hand tries to, you know, go to the Sunday love feast and tries to enjoy separately from the rest of the body, I'm the center, I'm just going to serve myself, give me the rice and I'll just go like this and I'll digest it. It doesn't work, it's not practical. The self-centered atheistic person or impersonalistic person, they're thinking they have to put themselves in the center to actually be satisfied, but that's the wrong conception. When you serve the center of all existence, or the root of all existence, then you become satisfied. When you feed the belly, then the hand becomes satisfied. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So it's a matter of education, and it's a matter of demonstrating it
you have to be a living example of someone who's actually relishing the nectar of connecting with the supreme source of all existence through loving service. If you're a living example of it, and you're emanating more bliss, more compassion, more knowledge, more peace, more equanimity than they've ever even dreamed of having in their whole life, just by seeing you, they're going to get envious of you. But you're willing to share your secrets with them, how you achieve this exalted state of equanimity, tranquility, etc. So you have to be, you have to be a very good ambassador of Krishna consciousness. You have to be, what does Krishna say? Yad yadavati shreshtas tattareve tarojana siyat pramanam kurute lokas tattanavartate. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text number 21. Whatever a great man does, a woman is saint principle, whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets, by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. All the world pursues. That means even the atheists pursue it. So you have to be a living embodiment of Krishna consciousness. That's the real insider secret. That's more powerful than the arguments. When they see that you're living in a plane, or on a plane of consciousness, you're situated on a plateau of consciousness light years beyond what they've ever dreamed of experiencing, you see. They'll be incredible. And they'll want to find out what is your secret. How did you achieve this exalted state of consciousness? So that's how Prabhupada. Of course, the arguments are there as well. You have to know the arguments, but you have to be a living embodiment of the teachings at the same time.
It can have an opposite reactions also. They can be envious, so they won't get it. They are stubborn.
Yeah, but the fact is that even if you, sometimes you feed the serpent milk, it just increases its poison. It's what you can do. It's a numbers game, you know. Like they say in sales, some will, some won't. So what? Next. You see, you have to offer this one a book, this one, okay, another one. It's a numbers game, you see. A salesman knows that. A good salesman, he loves to hear no. Because he's done the math on it, he's calculated, on the average, it takes this many no's before I get a yes. So he's never discouraged when someone says no, I'm not interested in in this cult religion. He's never discouraged because he knows that's one step closer to yes, tell me about it. I've been wanting to read your Krishna conscious books. Please tell me about it. Is there a place where I can come and learn more? You see, the thing is, a seasoned preacher knows it's just a numbers game. Boom, boom, no, 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 no. Somebody knows, and then yes. No is a stepping stone. Every no is a stepping stone to the yes. So in that way, one is never discouraged, you see. And another point is this, is given by Srila Prabhupada. He says, without strong opposition, there's no question of glorious victory. So to live in a world where the atheists are opposed to our philosophy and they're trying to remove God, just like in the U.S. we have In God We Trust on the money. Do the atheists want to take it off? You see, they're fighting the courts to destroy religion. Right now, the atheists in the U.S. are fighting the courts to completely eliminate religion at the United in every possible way that they can. They're fighting in the courts. So, should we be discouraged? No. We should. This is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's special mercy, the Sankirtan movement can have even more glorious victory than it would have had otherwise. To defeat all these atheists. So there's many ways you can see it. Many different ways you can see it, and they're all many different transcendental, ecstatic ways to see the war with the atheists that's going on right now. Big time war with the atheists. Anything else? Okay. We thank you all so much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada is so pleased seeing all of you here today. He's very, very pleased that you're participating in this movement. So kindly read these books very carefully every day. Read your Prabhupada books. Follow these teachings. Work together under your local leadership here to make this temple a grand success. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.